My name's Kay Bradley. I'm in James Thomas Court in Sebastopol in Ballarat. I've been here just on 18 months and loving it. The people here are so great, the way they look after you. I'd been here 3 times in TCP before I came here permanently, and I decided the staff are great, I got to know them. So when I decided it was time, I couldn't manage anything more at home, I decided I wanted to come here, and I didn't even look to go anywhere else. So I was really pleased when this room came up. As I said, I came here, I think it was the 3rd time, to TCP, and I was probably here a week or two, and I came back. I'd been out shopping with one of the volunteers, and Renee said to me, I've got a secret, you've got a room, but you can't say anything until tomorrow when Annette tells you. So I was going to dinner 5 minutes later, and I couldn't tell anyone, and I was bursting with excitement. So I thought, okay, I've got to be quiet. So after I had eaten, I rushed back to my room to ring my family and friends that weren't in Ballarat, that no one would find out that I told them. So I was really excited to get here, and I don't regret it for 1 minute. I love it. I just really love it here. We've got great volunteers. We've got an exceptionally great activities lady. There's always something going. We go out for lunch to different places. We go for morning melodies. We have happy hour once a week, and we have people come in and sing for us, like to entertain us, play the piano. They're all great. It's lovely. We all look forward to it, and they sort of sing along, and foghorn voice, but I love to sing along because I love music. I really love music. I went shopping one day, but my breathing wasn't good, so I couldn't go. And it annoys me when I can't, because I'm used to getting up and going and doing what I want to do and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, so I've got to pace myself. But I know, we went to a couple of Friday nights ago, we went to the Bluebell, and there was it was an ABBA sort of concert thing going on. But the girl had an amazing voice, and we had a lovely time. There was half a dozen of us went with 2 volunteers. And had a lovely meal, and the music was great, and got back here about 10:30, and they made us a cuppa. And well, actually, I got back and my bed was pulled back, and my pyjamas were on the end of the bed, and curtains were drawn, and the night was on. I thought, wow, I didn't get this treatment at home. I found out later who it was, and I just said, oh, thank you so much. And she said, oh, I just thought it'd make it easier for you when you got back. So little things like that that I treasure. I think it's great that they just add that little extra for you. It's not just their home, it's another family. Call it your clique or your little group, and they're your other family. Because you don't want to burden your family with, oh, wow, this is happening, I feel like this. But you might have a little whinge now and again to your family here. My most favourite song of all songs is Old Time Rock and Roll. I just love it, and you've got to have it blaring. You've got to have it really loud. I lived in a unit, so I thought, oh, I can't, once I moved into that, I can't have my music too loud, or be a bit considerate, okay? So I put my Old Time Rock and Roll CD in the car, and my grandson still lived down here then, and he was 3 or 4, Mason would have been. And he'd go, turn it up, man. He got to like it too. And he'd go, that's our favourite song, isn't it, man? Turn it up. Well, we'd have it blaring, and we'd both be singing Old Time Rock and Roll. Girlfriend rang me up one day and goes, not long sold my house. So not long after the money came through, girlfriend Melbourne rang me. We were born 3 months apart and have always been friends. And she wanted to go to America, to go to Memphis and see Graceland, and we'd been Elvis fans since we were 8 years old, and I go, yes, I'll come. And she goes, do you need to think about it? I said, what do you mean think about it? I already have. So I rang the kids, said, oh, I'm starting to spend your inheritance. I'm off to America in 18 months or 2 years' time. Go for it, Mum, it's your turn, right? I wanted to get fit before I went away, so I gave up smoking, knowing she had beforehand. So I'd given up smoking 18 months or 2 years before I went over there, bought a bike, just a cheap one from Kmart. Well, the first time I rode that around the lake, you'd think I'd won a gold medal. I was so proud of myself. I hurt my ankle in Vegas, as you do, about 3 days before we came home, and I thought, I've got insurance, but I'll be right. I'll hobble along until I get home. Could not get into my regular GP at the time, but I went to used to go to another doctor when I just needed, I was asthmatic, but I only needed two puffs of Ventolin morning and night. That's all I ever needed the puffers for. Never been in hospital for asthma at all or chest infections. When I needed Ventolin puffer and couldn't get into my doctor or something like that, I'd go to this regularly, go to this place. So he had all my history there. Okay, we'll get your ankle x-rayed. And he'd take these tablets. It was Celebrex. I did not know that an asthmatic was not meant to take Celebrex. 12 hours after I took that first tablet, I couldn't breathe. Dole triple O, I couldn't even get ambulance out. And they diagnosed me with like asthmatic and COPD. And I can remember going back to that doctor who gave me the tablet and said, you know, can you write it down? I don't know what COPD stands for. And he goes, it means you've got emphysema and you'll never be any better. That's how I was told. So I went from being the fittest I'd been in my life to having trouble walking from my bedroom to the toilet in a two-bedroom unit. That was my life as I knew it, and I've gone downhill since. That would have been 8 years ago. 2 years ago, I went on oxygen. And that first 2 years, I was in hospital 14 times with chest infections. I've been only been twice since I've been here. So I feel I've extended my life by not having to do everything that you do at home, even though you had home help. You still had to keep it tidy during the day and cook your meals, and I wasn't ready for Meals on Wheels. It might have been pride, I don't know, but you try to keep your independence as much as you can. So it was an allergic reaction and very, very, very scary. So I'm probably more relaxed now with people around me and nurses I know can take care of me. I have good and bad days. Like I know if I go out, like for morning melodies or something, I know I've got to take it easy for the next 2 days. But I accept that because it's worth it to me to be able to get out and enjoy myself. There's a beautiful 92-year-old lady here. She's a lady that brings flowers into me there that, you know, you've got to have some flowers. And she'll go out in the garden and pick them to me. I think, oh my God, she's 92 years old and she's looking after me. You know, she's doing things for me. It should be the other way around because I am now in a wheelchair and on oxygen all the time. It took me a long time to accept how I've gone from being so fit to I can't do this now, I get short of breath doing that. I found some counselling helped. It is hard to get your head around it. And I've always been independent and pig-headed probably. Yes, pig-headed as well. I decided myself that I thought, no, it's not the boys' decision, it's up to me. They wanted me to get more and more help at home and stay at home. But it got to the stage you think, do I really need that cup of tea? Do I really need to get up and get it? Because you'd get it and you'd be huffing and puffing and you'd think, is it worth it? Do I really need it that much? And I figured when it got to that stage, it was time to admit you can't handle it anymore, okay, you need help. So then I got rushed to hospital with another chest infections and I thought, this is it. I can't go home. I need to go into care. And when they said to me, okay, you can go home tomorrow, and I go, no, I need to go into care, I'm not going to handle home. I was a mess, an absolute mess in the hospital. I was a wreck because I'd admitted it, I'd said it out loud, this is it, the wheels are in motion, you've done it. And I hadn't even really spoken to my boys about it because, of course, they wanted Mum to be more independent because Mum was always there for them. And Mum had the family home for them to come to, and if Mum went, well, they didn't have it. But I knew I had to do it, and one day, well, I really hope that they're grateful now that I did it myself because I had to put my mum in a home. She had Alzheimer's and she used to live with us, and I felt I'd let her down when I did it. I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing. I probably should have done it a couple of years earlier. But I felt when I made the decision that it was time I had to put her in a home, I couldn't handle it anymore. I felt I'd really let her down, but my boys haven't got that choice. I did it myself. And I was fine once I got here. I was so excited that I got this place because, you know, it's not the most modern one, but the care, you know, there's always nurses on duty and they're all very caring. You know, it's lovely. And as you know, the carers are great. They've all got such different personalities, and it was quite easy to accept, really. The hardest part was getting rid of everything. But I had an amazing friend who just organised other friends, and they packed up my things for me. I was just there saying no, no, yes, no, yes, no. How much can I fit in one little room? I'm used to people dropping in all the time now, and I like to have people around. So, you know, and other times you think, I want to sleep, go away. Yes, I like the environment. I mean, for someone that likes to be on their own a lot, probably they mightn't like it as much, but I love it. And I mean, even the staff, some of them, you know, if they're having a bad day, it's a common just a joke that I'm going down the case room for a couple of minutes to cool down, they'll be back. And I love that. I think, you know, it's great. And like some of them bring their little kids in for you to meet. And so you sort of see you're part of their family. It makes them human too when they involve you with their family, you know, or little so-and-so's got an ear infection again. And yeah, it's just the whole lot. It's pretty amazing, I found. It's a little community within itself. So there's a group of four of us, and we've got Christmas presents for one another. So on Friday we've decided, okay, we'll have a bottle of champagne and some nibbles, and we'll go into one of the other rooms and give out our Christmas presents to one another in our little group, which is good. Yeah, it's great. Bev and I have a little drink, Mama Bear as we call her. Mama's 85, beautiful lady. It's taken me all these years to have a friend who loves sport like I do. All my other girlfriends would be, there's nothing on TV, you know, over summer. I go, oh, yes, there is, I'm in sport heaven. So Bev and I have been having our drink at 4 o'clock and watching the test together at that time. A couple of times she's even had her dinner here with me. And yeah, she's become a really, really good friend. Bev's just across from me, more or less, whereas Kate's down another wing, and she has been amazing. As my breathing's getting worse, she'll do the little things of a night time for me. And the other night she goes, I've got to go to bed early, love. I said, yeah, get going, you look tired. And 10 minutes later she's back, and I go, what are you doing back here? I thought you'd gone to bed. And she goes, I didn't help you turn your bed down, and I came back to help you. You know, you treasure those little things. We might have cheese and bickies about 10:30 if we're watching a movie or something, because my older son downloads movies for me. So we might put a movie on some nights and say, oh, do you want some cheese and bickies? Oh, yeah, why not? So she'll get up. Hang on, I'll get it. You know, I don't have to get up. She will get it in the plate and the knife and set it up here, and I cut it up and give it to her. And then she'll go, no, I'll wash the plate and then it's, you know. Things like that are getting harder and harder to do, and I really appreciate her doing it. They're all lovely, but they've all got their special sort of ways. And I think just after I came here, Tim didn't accept that Mum had to go into care, and he didn't realise it, but it made it hard for me. And I was in tears one day, and this nurse happened to walk past, and she'd come in, and so I sort of, you know, spoke to her, and she was so caring and lovely. And so every now and again I'll get a phone call, and KFC coming soon. Or she came in one day and she's standing there at the door and she goes, what did you order for dinner? What are you having for dinner? And I go, oh, I don't know, I don't feel that hungry. She goes, well, what about some Maccas? And her granddaughter coming with Maccas for me. You know, just little things like that makes it special. Yeah, it's, you know, and you really appreciate it. No way I was going anywhere else. And I don't think I would have settled in like I did if I had have gone somewhere else. And my biggest worry was when, as I started to get worse, was, okay, so when I need, you know, the real palliative care that, you know, I can't do, you know, anything, will they shift me from here? Because I don't want to go anywhere else. I'd completely give up. And they said, no, they wouldn't. I could stay here now. Right through, which I'm happy with that, because I just didn't want to be shifted and have to go somewhere else. I'm very proud of my boys. When my marriage broke up, Tim was 16, and he was amazing. He helped me through so much. Michael was only 11, and I, you know, really proud of how they grew up. And all I want them is to be happy and healthy before I go, and I think I've done an all right job.